Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, welcome inside hour two of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
We got a couple of huge baseball stories coming your way over the next few minutes. And the first one, the drama is really over in Colorado when it comes to the game. The Dodgers threw 7 innings, 10 runs on 15 hits. The Rockies, no runs on no hits. This is where we are right now. Trevor Bauer has thrown a no-hitter so far for the Rockies as we for the Dodgers against the Rockies as we head to the bottom of the seventh inning. And it's a case of Bauer has thrown 76 pitches. You're averaging about 13 or 14 pitches an inning. So that's going to be some kind of decision to say, okay, at 100 pitches, go out there for the ninth inning. Clearly, we've seen it before with the Dodgers where they've taken guys out with no hitters through six, seven innings, going to the bullpen. We're doing it. It would be something that the Dodgers have never done to leave him in the game. But boy, can you imagine what it's going to be like? Dave Roberts coming out to the mound, and, you know, ninth inning, and Trevor Bauer just pointing back,
fight,
going, get to the dugout. I don't know what you're doing. Turn around and go to the dugout. I'm not coming out of this game. No, but this is how we do it. Usually Clayton, go. I am not coming out of this game. And Roberts just turns around, claps his hands, and runs back to the dugout. That's how it's going to go for him.
It's one thing to do it with the young guys. Trevor Bauer in his first start as a Dodger having this kind of night and trying to get him off the mound, he might super suplex Dave Roberts here. I mean, there might be a you know, Goldberg spear to be had before he'd leave the mound willingly. This could get interesting. The fact that he ran the bases himself here as they extend the lead to double digits, which is just insane, is a good sign that he at least stays in the game because, you know, there's always that part too. Well, it's, you know, smart baseball. He's on base. We need to bring the pinch runner in because we want to make sure he's okay or that he wasn't pinch hit for altogether. So at least some progress in that regard.
Now we have an update on the no-hitter. We have an update on it right now. As Mike Harmon was speaking, let's go to Steve DeSager, who has an update on Trevor Bauer, who was no hits into the bottom of the seventh against the Rockies. Steve DeSager, what do you have for us?
Trevor's story, a line single to left. First hit of the night for the Rockies. Dodgers lead 10-0 in the bottom of the seventh inning. Trevor Story, who's hit about 290 the last 3 years for Colorado, does get a hit. And by the way, gentlemen, the great researcher Sarah Lang saying, still, in baseball history, to throw a no-hitter in your first game for a new team in the last 100 years, that's only happened Hideo Nomo 20 years ago, his first game with the Red Sox, and Wilson Alvarez of the White Sox in 1991. And Charlie Blackmon has just followed with a home run.
Shutout
is gone. He was tired from running the bases. They could have had to combine no-hitter. Dave Roberts screwed this one up. He should have taken him out, and they should have been going with a new, fresh pitcher for those final innings.
You can
877-99 on Fox.
Yeah, right. You can blame the players' union on this one because they didn't get the DH for this season. Last year, yes. Next year, probably yes. Trevor Bauer spent the top of the seventh on the bases. 10-2 LA, bottom of the seventh.
Now, wait a minute. Now, Steve, I'm reading that Dave Roberts has thrown the challenge flag on the last two hits. Can he win both of these challenges and keep the no-hitter intact?
I'll say no, because I'm thinking of like Joe Walton or somebody when the NFL first gave us review. You know, probably not very good. Usually it's not going to be overturned when they've actually gone to a batter after.
Saying, you never know.
Has he thrown a pitch yet? He's walking around the mound, whistling to himself.
Hey, can you throw the flag?
Hey, get on the bump, pitcher.
Who was it that couldn't find his flag a couple of years ago? It was Jeff Fisher, right? Couldn't find his flag to throw it when he was wearing a big parka before he got fired by the by the Rams.
That's not the only thing he couldn't find.
Yeah.
That's good.
I don't have to worry about that anymore, coach.
I got a lot of pockets in this jacket. Boy, I tell you, J. Crew really likes pockets. Nope, not in there. Nope, not in there. That's my
key. All of a sudden, he's
got
one of those handkerchiefs that keeps going like he's a Vegas magician.
He's a clown. It just keeps coming out.
Well, you're half right. Trevor Bauer, as far as his pitch count tonight, had thrown 12 to 14 pitches, literally that, in every inning so far. And so he was on pace to hit the 100-pitch mark at the end of the eighth inning. And you're right. That was going to be a great question. Would they let the veteran pitch the ninth, whereas Ross Stripling, as you recall, in the Bay Area a few years ago, there was not a chance he was going to finish that game when he had a no-hitter going.
And, you know, not only that for Trevor Bauer, but obviously Trevor Bauer's ERA was zero. It has just jumped to over three.
Oh.
You know, he with one pitch to Charlie Blackmon, his ERA has jumped up three runs. So now he's just a guy. I mean, now he's just a guy.
Well, you said he would struggle. We now know his limits.
He's struggling.
Six great innings, and then if he had to run, it all falls apart. Conditioning, Trevor.
And
he
also, you know, with the Dodgers.
He didn't even have a quality start now. He could give up a couple more runs, and suddenly his ERA is like 4.5 for 6.
With all the Dodgers' talent on the staff and their 9-man rotation, he's only going to get so many starts this year, probably to lower that. So.
The 9-man rotation.
There's a lot of guys. Don't forget, you still got David Price hanging out in the back going, I'll take my turn when you need me to, Skip.
Tony Gonsolin can still start, ladies and gentlemen.
It could happen.
Oral Hershiser's got a couple innings left in him, too.
Jerry Royce is going to start Sunday. It could really happen. Just watch out.
And Fernando. Don't forget Fernando. He's always hanging around. Yeah, by the way, before I go, can we update on this ridiculous score that UConn is actually losing in a national semifinal? It's Arizona 53-41 and only 5.5 minutes to go. This is crazy. Absolutely crazy. In fact, I saw a stat that from AP that UConn in championship games, they're 11-0. In national semifinals, UConn is 11-9 all time. That's a little
crazy.
They are
shooting 30% from the floor right now, and that's what's doing them in. They're shooting 30% from the floor. Oof. Wow. All right, so clearly that is a huge game that we are going to be keeping track of, right? Well, look, Trevor Bauer's no-hitter is done. He's over. He's a bum. He's overrated. He's a jag. I mean, that's done. Now let's see what happens with Arizona and UConn. Still over 5 minutes left to go, but a 10-point lead from the
There may
Wildcats.
Be a hit from Gino Auriemma coming soon.
It could. Boy. Can you imagine that Gino Auriemma interview after the game? How salty is he going to be? Hey, Gino, do you feel that this was karma? Because, you know, they didn't get the foul call in the game to get here. So do you think you guys lost, like it's balancing things out, you know, like that? Gino,
I want Kim Mulkey to come back and do commentary for him.
Kim Mulkey? She wouldn't be wearing a mask. She'd come back. She'd all right,
she'd
Gino.
She'd be struggling to get it on. What are you talking about?
Thanks a bunch, Steve. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it, buddy. So we'll have more on Arizona and UConn come up. Again, UConn women down by 10 with just over 5 minutes left to go. But a huge story out of baseball today. The MLB All-Star Game is now moving out of Atlanta, and the draft as well, because now the draft and the All-Star Game were packaged as one, over the big Georgia voting law that was put into effect last week. One of the biggest stories on the planet. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp put in a sweeping Republican-sponsored bill that included new restrictions on voting by mail and legislative control over how elections are run. The bill also prohibits volunteers from distributing food and water for voters waiting in line. This law comes in the wake of the first Democratic victories in the presidential election and the Senate elections in Georgia in 20-some-odd years, and we have all the talk about voter fraud and all of these things. And when I saw this story today, I looked up and I said two things. I said, well, wow. Look at Rob Manfred actually doing something, because he's a guy that just doesn't want to do anything. Him and Adam Silver just want to walk around and take a look at the nameplate on their desk that say commissioner. So I'm really surprised he did it here. I thought he was going to let this thing slide as long as he could. But honestly, Mike, I am not surprised. I knew this was going to happen, because when you play politics, this is how it goes, right? And sports becomes collateral damage or becomes a, quote, political football, right? Sports is about inclusion on all levels. This is a law that is about voting restriction. This was inevitable, and it was something that was going to happen. And when certain things now happen politically, it almost always affects sports. It always affects big sports that are going to be in a city, in a state, whatever it is. And this is now how it's just simply going to go. Major League Baseball can do whatever they want with the All-Star game. You know, they can move it, they cannot, and they have to deal with the after effects of that. The Braves are upset about it. Major League Baseball puts out this statement. The Governor Kemp was upset that it was moved, and this is going to be more of a political battle. But this is what happens when politics get involved. There is collateral damage, and this is that part of it. So this, I knew this was going to happen at some point. As soon as it came up, hey, here's this controversial voting law in Georgia, and hey, the Major League Baseball's got an All-Star game there. You knew it was going to happen. I didn't think it would happen this fast because I didn't think Rob Manfred would want to touch this for a while, but he does, and he moves it, and it just happens a little bit sooner than I thought it was going to.
Well, I want to hear the rest of the story. That's where the interesting part comes in here, Smith, and I won't take us too far out of the center lane here. It's a very complicated bill with a lot of pieces to it. Look, I remember voting, and they told me they didn't want my ID, and it made no sense to me, and that's part of this that I still raise my hand on in a large way, whether you decided there was fraud or not, that, well, there could be, and why not fail safe and put some, you know, checks and balances in, and this becomes a nationwide thing, Nate, but here it is in Georgia. What I found interesting, Howard Bryant, weekly columnist over at ESPN, does some stuff on NPR. He had an interesting couple of tweets from earlier this afternoon. Got off the phone with MLB, MLPA sources, confirmed the same thing. MLB's decision to move was the result of corporate sponsor pressure. It was not the result of a player-threatened boycott. Players never even voted on the issue. He continues, also told that the Players Alliance, the group of MLB players organized to engage in social justice issues, told the MLBPA they planned to play as normal, whether the game was in Atlanta or move. Now, that's one reporter, but, you know, it's always the, what do we always say, follow the money when it comes down to it, right? The politics, then the people funding the politics, and where the corporations line up. So curious to see what flows in terms of, well, you've got a lot of big entities that do work in Georgia. The obvious next extension is, does Major League Baseball want the Braves playing their full slate in Georgia? Should the Hawks finish their season? The Falcons? TNT is in Georgia. CNN is in Georgia. You know, it becomes a, all right, by doing business there, are you doing wrong? I get that the pressure was there, and there was some talk over the last week about potentially moving it. Now folks are asking about, do you move the Masters, right? Do you reposition Augusta and get commentary there? I think it becomes a much bigger issue. To your point, yeah, Rob Manfred acted. Now I want more than just his statement as to how it came to pass.
Political football. I mean, that's what it is. That's what it's always going to be. And look, this is something, because it could be. Was it easy to get the Braves out of Atlanta? Of course not. Is it easy to tell CNN, hey, we're going to leave? No, of course not. But the All-Star game, which is something that can be movable, that was awarded by Major League Baseball, they can back out of it. And it, the what people forget about stories like this is that everybody has freedom to say what they want to do, as long as you're not infringing on the rights of somebody else, all right? And this part of this is, when you make a decision on something, you have to deal with the reaction to it, right? Because for both sides, right? First, for the Republican Party, who makes this decision, we're going to try to restrict voting. All right, well, that's the thing. You can make that decision, but you can't control how people are going to respond to it.
You can't, right? Categorically just say restrict voting.
They're trying to restrict voting. Like that's what it is.
They're changing how votes are amassed and tabulated and some of the rules, but they're not telling people not to vote.
And they are putting restrictions on
voting.
They're restricting voting by mail.
Too simple.
No, so you don't believe the CIA and the FBI and Homeland Security that said this was the most secure election that we've ever had? That's not true?
The point is, when you say restricting, they're just saying you can't vote. Right, that's the equivalent of using that term.
They're saying,
are they putting measures in? Sure,
You can't even distribute food and water for people waiting in line. Why? Because they don't want people waiting in line that long to vote. I mean, look, it's political. I'm telling you. Look, they saw we lost the state. Let's try to win it next time. So they're putting this out there. The food and water is just to say, you want to wait in line? Oh, people say, I can't wait in line for 3 hours to vote. I can't vote by mail. I got to do this. It's restricting being able to vote. You're not able to vote how you used to be able to because they're putting restrictions in on it. But my point is that if they can decide this, and then Major League Baseball can decide what they want after it. And now what the response to it is going to be, Major League Baseball can't control how they're responded to. It's like everybody, whether it doesn't matter, whether you're on the Republican side, the Democratic side, you can make all the decisions you want to make. But when it comes down to it, you can't control what the response is from somebody else. You can't just say, I want to make this decision and then not be questioned on it. No, it doesn't work that way. You know, anybody who's ever had a kid that says, I want to make this decision and not be questioned on it, your kid's going to go, wait a minute, why? You want freedom from responsibility for your decisions. We have this conversation a lot. So whatever side makes calls on things, okay, you make that decision, you have to be responsible for what comes after it. And so now Georgia's responsible, Major League Baseball is responsible, and whatever else comes out of this is responsible for what their decision is going to be. Now, if you see some kind of agreement that you could see, maybe there's still something because they're pulling the game out now, and maybe there could be some kind of agreement that gets it back. I mean, we're still talking about a game that's a few months away, but right now this is where, okay, what decision A was made and decision B was made because of it, and we're going to get decision C, D, E, F, and G along the way.
Yeah, we'll see where the next part is. Obviously, the Players Alliance put out their notice after the decision was made to say, hey, we agree with it. But it's curious just in terms of the formation of the decision and what other, you know, do other leagues follow? You know, what's the next process? That's really the raise my hand on this in terms of, look, you make decisions, there are going to be consequences. We know that. And, you know, we always get into freedom of speech is one of those things. And certainly from a governmental perspective, look, they can't come in and take you based on what you say. But if a business decides to move on, it now becomes the question of the pandering from many mayors across the U.S. of, hey, we'd like your All-Star game. Please come
just put
here.
Put it to Citi Field. Everybody wants to see Francisco Lindor anyway.
Sure.
Put it in Citi Field.
No, Milwaukee came up because of Hank Aaron finishing his career there.
Yeah. Look, everybody's going to want it. I mean, look, look, Gavin Newsom put out a tweet, come play here. Everybody's going to want the All-Star game. But Citi Field is where it should be. Francisco Lindor.
Francisco.
Yes, come
Lindor.
On. You should always give it to the team who had just signed the shortstop to the biggest contract in Major League Baseball history. I mean, that's really how they should go and decide this.
I'm not even dignifying that with a response at this point.
Twitter it out about a fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. AutoZone has more ways for you to start your job your way, and that means getting what you need fast. Some jobs can't wait. That's why AutoZone offers free same-day store pickup. With their free same-day store pickup, you can order online and pick it up today at more than 5,600 AutoZone locations. Some jobs can wait, and that's why AutoZone offers free next-day delivery on orders over $35. Free next-day delivery is available on over 100,000 parts. So visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Coming up next, can UConn claw back? What are our big NCAA Final Four picks for this weekend? Mike and I got you covered right here. Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you can get your podcast.
All I want to do is zoom, 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 and a boom, boom. Check, baby, 1, 2, 3, 4. Check, baby, 1, 2, 3. There is a minute and 16 seconds left in the women's semifinal between Arizona and UConn. The Huskies have cut the lead to 7, but they still have a lot of work to do. As we close in on a minute, this could be UConn being upset and not making the Final Four. Basket has turned it into a 5-point game. And why do I think, Mike Harmon, that the last minute of this game is going to take like 45 minutes to play? It's going to be fouling shots. It's going to take forever to finish this game.
Well, most college basketball games that are within 20 points do take forever, right? Mm. A lot of foul shots, a lot of timeouts because you get 15 per half. Obviously, that's an exaggeration, but not by much. But not by much.
No, you're right. You're right. This is like when I'll never forget being little growing up. Like the best thing I could always do was on Sunday watching the Jets with my grandfather, right? Because we were the Jets fans. All my other uncles, all those stupid people are all Giants fans. They were winning Super Bowls and all this crap. So I'd watch the Jets with my grandfather. And, you know, the Jets would play 4 o'clock games. It would be like, you know, 6:30, 6:45. My grandmother was like, all right, dinner's ready. You know, she wants to finish Sunday, right? She wants to finish the day and go to bed. You know, I'm done. All right, I want to be finished. And my grandfather would always say, we'll be up in a couple minutes. How long till the game's over? 5 minutes. And this is when there's, you know, 2 minutes left in the game, which, you know, would take like a half hour.
But that's just it.
And she would yell and she would go, is the game over yet? No. How much time is left? Minute and a half. And then finally it was, you know what? We're just going to eat downstairs from now on Sunday nights. I was like, oh, I can eat downstairs. I don't need to eat at the kitchen table. I mean, I can watch television and sit downstairs in the basement. Pop, this is like the greatest gift you could ever give me. I feel like Willy Wonka. I got the golden ticket. So every Sunday night, I'd get to eat dinner downstairs. It was like, I looked forward to that. So I was so mad when the Jets would have 1 o'clock games. I'm like, the game's going to be over by 4:30. I'm not going to get to eat downstairs because we didn't eat downstairs when the Giants were on. We eat. It's the Giants, not the Jets. We eat upstairs for the Giants, but downstairs for the Jets.
Well, I mean, the Giants were the inferior team in your estimation.
And well, in our house,
created,
it was.
Right. If it created a new tradition, I mean, that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Right. We always joked forever ago, you know, about Big Ten games where it would take a good, hour for those final 4 minutes to come off the clock, no matter how bad we were when I was a student there. So it's, that's college sports. And it's the beauty, the pageantry. And, well, sometimes it's like, come on, just finish already. They're not going to miss all those free throws, are they? And then you see a couple teams do it, which gives you that sliver of a chance. You're saying there's a chance that they could gack this away. So, always the curiosity, right? UConn, every year it's the same thing. How many interviews have we done with UConn champions after they've finished on Sunday, you know, into Monday or Tuesday nights, the way the schedules have worked in the past? It's been a number of them. Right now, looking pretty tough for Gino Auriemma.
So we'll keep you updated again. 47 seconds left. They are in a timeout. UConn was able to rebound a missed free throw, so they will have the basketball down 6. Again, still a lot of time left. You're talking about 45 seconds. There will be a ton of fouls. But speaking of the Final Four, let's, Mike and I, give you our Final Four picks for this weekend as we get set for Championship Monday. And I'm going to go with the philosophy I've used to be right on about this tournament so far.
All right, let's go.
When USC and UCLA were playing for the right to go to the Final Four, what did I say? USC has no chance, right? They are going to be shown. Gonzaga is clearly a better team.
Yeah.
But UCLA beating Michigan?
USC, by the way.
Yeah, no, it's okay. USC's too much money, man. I mean, okay, what it's going to be like when Zoe goes to USC, that's going to be like $500,000 a year. No, she can go to community college. It's fine. There's a good Carl's Jr. on the corner of Santa Monica. No, it's fine. She's good. But I told you UCLA beating Michigan, yeah, because that was a better matchup for the Bruins. I'm going to say the same thing this weekend, except I don't see it. There is no way UCLA beats Gonzaga. There is just no way. Look, UCLA has had a nice run so far, and they've been winning games. They've had the matchup go in their favor with four guards, but Gonzaga is just a completely different animal. UCLA's got to score a little bit to stay with Gonzaga, who's got the best offense in the country, and it's going to be much different where you're looking at UCLA, who's been able to shut players down on opposing teams. Great one-on-one defense. It's worked. Not the way Gonzaga moves the basketball, running their offense through Drew Timmy. This is going to be a game where if Gonzaga doesn't win by 20, I will be extremely surprised.
Well, the spread, remember when it went live, was 13.5. I'll lay the points here. It's been a great run for UCLA. Looking for the guards to have their moments, but all in all, how do you stop it, right? It's the, you know, you play a little bit of defense, and we saw that, and Michigan had open shot after open shot that didn't fall. Didn't mean they didn't get good looks, because that's the thing, right? You can talk about defensive metrics all you want. Go back and watch the tape. A lot of good shots, just couldn't buy the bottom of the net. So they advance. I think it's a couple of one seeds. I think it's boring, and I hate
that. I will give Houston a better chance of beating Baylor.
I agree.
Because Houston is defensively is terrific. But, again, they don't score. I mean, their offense is just okay. It's like their offense is just okay enough. But defensively, what they've done, and offensively rebounding the basketball the way they do, that has carried them. Baylor still is a different animal. Are they as good as Gonzaga? No, but they're close. And you're talking about this is the third best offense in the country. So no matter what these teams do, I can't see them doing it enough where suddenly Gonzaga and Baylor are in knockdown dragouts and, you know, the score is going to be 52-49. I'll give Houston a little bit better chance because I see the way they play defense and how great they play. But in the end, we're going to get the game we're supposed to get that we've wanted all season long. The two best teams in the country, we're getting Gonzaga and Baylor for the national championship.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, you know, when you get to the, you know, Baylor and you talk about Houston and their defense, Baylor averaged 85 points a game, right? 84 and change. Even if you get them down, what, to 74, you scoring 74 against them? I mean, you're going to have to get every offensive rebound, and that's been one of their keys. No go, as it were. And remember, we talked about the KenPom rankings before the tournament even kicked off. What did we have? Gonzaga, and the gap between them and Baylor was bigger than the gap between Baylor and the sixth seed UCLA.
Yeah, this was a year where there were two halves in college basketball, right? Gonzaga and Baylor, right? They're easily the two mm-hmm. halves. And then you had other teams who were very good. Look, Michigan was really good. And you know, I think it's a testament, as good as Michigan, as far as they went in the tournament without their best player.
Right.
You know, look, because if Livers is playing in the last game, he's the guy making those shots. He's the guy that's steadying things for Michigan. So they went that, look, Juwan Howard had a horrible game coaching. You know, some of the decisions he made, some of the lack of adjustments he made, clearly had some questions. But look, Michigan was still really good. Illinois was really good, but they were more of your garden variety great teams, right? Like every year we have four number one seeds, and boy, hey, they're great. But you know, almost anybody can lose at any time.
Right. They're not.
This year it's not
equal.
The case. Yeah. This year it's Gonzaga, and then it's Baylor, and then it's everybody else, right? You talk about the gap between Gonzaga and Baylor. That's almost the gap between Baylor and all the other teams in the country, too. So, I mean, it's the game we should be getting, and it's going to be awesome. I'd love to be able to pick an upset. I'd love to. I think it would be awesome if I could, but I can't pick an upset here. I got to go with what I think, and this is how it's going to go.
I love it. There we go. Let's take chalk, and we'll meet and watch them on Monday night as they battle for it all. Look, UCLA is fun, man. It's been a fun story and a fun ride to watch the excitement of the city, right? And certainly our flagship AM570 LA Sports here and all the guys getting excited and people who I know who really couldn't care less about college buckets. They were waiting. They were just looking for something until the Dodgers started. And now they're like, all right, I got two lanes going. What are you doing Saturday? Well, the world's opening up. Don't care. Got to watch mm-hmm. UCLA now. It's like, well, all right, so it's another Saturday drinking at home.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
So apparently, Mike, the Pac-12 is great at everything.
Oh, absolutely. Conference of champions.
Woo. You talk about the run they've had so far in the NCAA tournament, which is likely going to end, but still a great run. And now here they are with Arizona, who can't win a Rose Bowl. But boy, they get to the college basketball national championship game by beating UConn by 10. And you talk about having the presence of mind and hitting free throws down the stretch. UConn had cut this big lead down to 7. It was 6 and 5 a couple of times with a minute or so to ago. But Arizona hit their free throws. UConn missed a couple. They were not good from the free throw line. Look, you lost by 10, but still, you know, they're only 14 out of 20 from the free throw line. And they were able to hold on and win. And so it's Arizona and Stanford. A Pac-12 team is walking away with the Women's College Basketball National title. Congrats to the Wildcats.
Well, you know what? They were still salty because the hype video that went out the other day didn't include any images of Arizona players.
Yeah, now they're going to have
to. They were ticked. Ari McDonald, I rewatched it a couple of times. It was frustrating. I definitely took it as a sign of disrespect. Coach Barnes, same thing, going, well, there are things that get missed sometimes and shouldn't be. Stuff like that shouldn't happen. She bit her tongue. I give her... No, I wouldn't have. I would have just let go. I mean, it's just the latest in what's been a trying time, shall we say, to put it kindly, for the NCAA with a lot of treatment of different aspects of this tournament and certainly meeting with the Supreme Court to talk about all of those fun pay topics that we have so often around college sports.
And really quickly, let me just say this, because, you know, there's some decisions that are made we always question in sports. And, hey, was this the right decision? Was this the wrong decision? Clearly, according to Steve DeSager's update, the Dodgers' decision to start out David Price in the bullpen and bury him at the bottom and pitch in games that are 11-0, that turned out to be the right call. You could say so far that is the right to David Price out of the bullpen. That is the right call so far for the Dodgers.
Well, and evidently there's an animal on the field. We'll try to corral what's going on there.
Oh, an animal is out on the field. Is it a bear?
I don't know.
Is it a wolverine? Is it a cardinal?
Now, if it were a wolverine, that'd be fantastic.
Is it a wildcat? It's well. Why, how could it be a horse, Alex Teicher?
Easily.
How could it be police, man?
How is it? It's going to throw the police officer off and just start running around the field.
Actually, guys, how appropriate with Arizona just winning. It is a wildcat on the field.
Oh, look at that.
In Denver, Colorado. And in fact, as he was headed toward the Dodger bullpen, of course, he had to stop on the outfield grass, getting a little winded at the altitude, no doubt, and then continued toward the Dodger bullpen. And immediately, Joe Davis, the Dodger play-by-play man, said, no doubt he's going to Tony Gonsolin, who is a noted cat lover.
There you go.
But nice. Actually, the cat was intercepted on the warning track, and now play has resumed at Colorado, bottom of the eighth.
Well, that's good. That's how deep the Dodgers are, is they're worried about the bottom of that. Hey, let's make sure we get the right animal guys at the bottom, because in case something runs on the field, we want to have the right guy to put in the game. All right, so let's let Gonsolin in the game.
That's awesome.
So again, 11-6, play has resumed, and already the Rockies have a runner at first base. Oh, boy! Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, and when I said that now Trevor Bauer's a Jag, yeah, his ERA for this season now is at 5.5. Right, he was at 0. Here comes a no-hitter. Now he's 5.5. Trevor Bauer's a Jag. Disappointing. What did I tell you? Coming up next, we got a big story out of the National Football League to bring you, because it's going to be something that we're all just going to laugh at together. Well, all of us will laugh, and one of us on the show will not. I'll just say it that way.
Yeah,
that's coming up next, right here. Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, when they were Jefferson's Starship and Mickey Thomas came and replaced lead singer Marty Balin, but it was still Grace Slick for Starship here in 1986.
I can't hear this song without thinking of Homer Simpson. We built this city. This rockin' city. Oh, boy.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Hey, we got some fun Friday basketball stuff coming your way in a few minutes. None of which, at least, will be whatever Gino Auriemma says following UConn's loss tonight.
Well, it could be
in
fun.
The Women's Final Four. Oh, he's going to be the same no matter what happens. He's always salty and upset, and he uses the surrounding or the energy and attention surrounding the Final Four to say what he's waited to say all year long. I mean, he's going to be salty and upset, all kinds of things. It's going
to
be great.
To steal from the Masters, it's a tradition unlike any other.
But, hey, let's all laugh for a few minutes because, well, we're all going to laugh except for Mike Harmon. Because, again, today, we watched the Chicago Bears, GM Ryan Pace, reaffirming that Andy Dalton is the Bears' starting quarterback. And I mean it. When the Queen was, when Queen Elizabeth was introduced in 1952, and, you know, being the big crown watcher I am, I remember all of this, there was less fanfare than the Bears walking around the past week telling everybody, introduced Andy Dalton is our quarterback. We're going to put it out on social media. Our head coach is going to say so. Andy Dalton's going to say, they told me I was a starting quarterback. Here's the GM saying Andy Dalton's our starting quarterback. It's like they, we have to go over the top telling people, no, he is our guy. We believe in him. This is something that every time I see it, I laugh, I smile, and I go, you're going around just bragging how great it is that Andy Dalton's your starting quarterback. The Jets aren't going to do this when they get Zach Wilson. The Jaguars aren't going to do this with Trevor Lawrence, but hey, we got Andy Dalton. Hey, let's make sure everybody knows we got fanfare. We have, we're carrying Andy Dalton around on a big throne with that's made of gilded lilies and sparkling rhinestones. We're going to carry him through the streets of Chicago, and we're going to throw him in the river. We're going to cleanse him. It's going to be great, and we're going to have a big parade. It's going to be fantastic. Oh, boy, Mike Harmon, this is really something.
Ryan Pace said Mitch Trubisky, quote, sacrificed and battled for this team. Patrick Finley, at Patrick Finley on Twitter. I asked why things didn't work out with him. Pace said they simply wanted to upgrade. Oh, you buried the lead, though. You also have Matt Nagy affirming that he will be taking the play-calling duties back from Bill Lazor. You know, when the offense worked. My God.
Look, here's the thing.
Spinning down a drain.
It's not all bad, buddy, for you. It's not because they're very excited about being the same team they've been the past few years. Right? Because that's what it is. Like, is this suddenly going to be the Bears are going to be absolutely terrible? No. They're going to be mediocre. They're going to be what they've been the last few years. And they're so excited about it. We're excited about being mediocre. We got Andy Dalton and Nick Foles, and boy, this is going to be fun. They're excited about being, they're going to be the same exact team, right? They kept some of their playmakers. They made a couple of signings in free agency. Not that a couple of their playmakers are happy with, you know, getting the contracts they did. But still, they're going to be mediocre, and they're so excited about being mediocre. And so maybe they listen to the show when I say, hey, reaching for your dreams, hey, that might be too much. Reach for the middle. You'll be less disappointed. Maybe they're listening to the show when I say that, and that's what they're embracing.
Never take advice from Jason Smith unless it's got something to do with a sugary treat. Then he'll steer you in the right direction. And maybe what you should order off, I don't know, the dollar menu. I mean, do you stock up when you hit your fast food menu? We can talk about that. It is a Friday. Whoa. It is a Friday night. But this is just embarrassing. A full week. And then there's still the report from Chris Mortensen. Hey, they haven't stopped pursuing, any ins back on Russell Wilson. So that's still in the background. Meanwhile, it's let's do everything we can to prop Andy Dalton up. And they're doing it lockstep. The fact that you got the two guys sitting next to each other, let's just keep we're a united front, right? Right? And he's like, nope.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. Got a couple of big stories out of basketball and the NFL coming your way next. You are listening to Jason Smith and Mike Harbin here on Andy Dalton Radio Network.
Ugh.